Hello, this is Barbara Ingracia of Manage Copyright, and I want to welcome you to this session where we'll talk about how to manage copyright and why that's important in our daily lives. Now, when I'm talking about copyright, I'm talking about law, and that is the right to make a copy. So that's copyright. If you have a blog, a website, if you post to social media, if you use content from the internet, images, for example, this session will empower you with the vital information to safely navigate copyright in this digital age. Picture this. You're going through the mail and a letter arrives, and you notice on the envelope it's from an attorney who's not your attorney. So your heart is pounding, and you tear it open, and you tear into it, and it states, "Dear you, you have used my client's intellectual property without permission. You must hereby cease and desist this use immediately. You must remove this infringing content from your website and destroy any marketing materials containing it. In addition, you must submit, a large amount of money for having used it. We request that you comply with these demands within 10 days, or we will be forced to initiate court proceedings." And this is sincerely blah, 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 Esquire. Well, what is this attorney talking about? Cease and desist, demand for money. Is this some sort of scam? I haven't used anybody else's property. I don't have the time or the money to waste on this silly thing. I spent big money on my marketing materials. I hired the best marketing firm and graphic designers. They're pros. They must know what they're doing. I'm not destroying all this material just because I received some letter. Yes, I think it's another scam. I'll just ignore it, and it'll go away. Well, this letter may be annoying, but it shouldn't be ignored out of hand. Whether you have a formal business or not, if we have a website or a blog, we take photos, we post to social media, we could receive a letter like that. The legal and financial consequences can be devastating. If we can easily find content on the internet to use, we can be easily found using it. All of us have budgets and income and expenses and things to be concerned about, and all of this could be affected by copyright law. Now, copyright law seems complicated and confusing and downright dull, and it is, but it's important to know how to protect ourselves from the nightmare of the scenario that we just visited above. So the purpose of this session today is to gain skills and awareness about copyright, to protect ourselves, our families, our businesses, our organizations from serious, expensive, and time-consuming litigation. We can learn basic skills to more safely utilize the rich resources of the internet and to safely navigate. Now, we're not going to become lawyers in this, but there are some basics that we can learn, some guidelines, some tips, so that we don't fall over into pitfalls and potholes unintentionally. With this basic knowledge, this basic awareness, we can have a sense of confidence and peace of mind. Fewer worries about, can I use this content? How can I protect the content I create? So the bottom line here is to develop skills to manage copyright. Don't let it manage you. Now, before I dig into the myths and misunderstandings, let me tell you quickly a little bit about myself. I became involved in copyright as an academic librarian. As print resources evolved into electronic, I began negotiating licenses for those electronic resources, because with electronic resources, we're just leasing. We don't actually own them. And that evolved into being concerned about copyright. In this digital age, because it's so easy to find information and it's so easy to search, copy, paste, and send, copyright has regained prominence in our daily lives. Now, I studied copyright in depth with various college programs and became certified as a certified copyright manager, speaker, and trainer. And now I work with individuals, businesses, educational institutions, various organizations, and professional groups to empower them to navigate copyright law in the digital age. I have a passion for raising awareness about the role of copyright in our daily lives and to bring some fun to a potentially dull subject. So again, my motto, my goal is manage copyright. Don't let it manage you. So what is copyright anyway? And why is it such a big deal to small businesses, to organizations, to all of us? Copyright protects original works of authorship that have been fixed in a tangible medium. Copyright protects original works of authorship that have been fixed in a tangible medium. The concept of copyright appears in the U.S. Constitution and was there to promote and encourage the development of American culture, American literary works, American inventions. And the incentive was that the creator would have a monopoly for a short period of time. Now, the copyright holder has the exclusive rights to copy, hence the named copyright, to copy or reproduce the work, to distribute it, to make derivative works, such as translations, publicly display the work, or publicly perform the work. And so you can see how these could apply to written works, art, music, recordings, etc. And any of these rights can be licensed off to someone else. And that's what typically has happened when people have published a book or published an article. They've given it off to a publisher. Well, in this electronic age, we can address that differently. Now, I know this seems complicated and confusing, but please just hang in there with me. We've been taught to look for a notice of copyright, you know, that famous C in a circle, followed by a year, and it typically says all rights reserved. We're all familiar with that, right? How many of us had that drilled into us in school? Maybe we didn't know why. We just knew that if there was a C in a circle, we weren't supposed to just take it and use it. If there was no C in a circle, it was okay to use because it wasn't protected by copyright. It was in what's called the public domain. Well, surprise, surprise. First myth and misunderstanding, that C in a circle is no longer required. That's right. The sacred C in a circle is no longer required. We earlier said that copyright protects original works of authorship that have been fixed in a tangible medium. It doesn't say you get copyright after you have registered it with the U.S. Library of Congress. It doesn't say that it requires a copyright notice to be placed on the work. And a copyright notice is the C in a circle with a year and a name and all rights reserved. So the absence of the copyright notice, the C in a circle, the absence of that notice is not a reliable indication of the status of the work. So it's really hard to tell what's copyright protected and what's not, if we can use something or if we can't, or what the conditions might be. Well, then along comes the internet, and it seems like anything goes. Again, if you can find information, you can be found using it. The internet is such a wonderful resource, and we need to know how to use it safely. So before we dig in, let's look at the 10 mistakes or potholes that we can fall into concerning copyright. We'll look at some tips for avoiding those potholes, and I'll also offer you an opportunity to delve into these in a little more depth, how they affect you and your specific situation, how copyright law might apply to you, and then possibly talk about some strategy for moving forward. The information I'll be sharing is information. It should not be construed as legal advice. So let's start exploring those potholes. Well, we have already looked at this first one, that if there's no copyright notice on the work, that it's not copyrighted, and so it's okay to use in any way you want. That is the first mistake, the first pothole. Frankly, it depends. It depends on when the work was originally published, what the requirements for claiming copyright were at that time, if the copyright was renewed, if the copyright is owned by an individual or a company. But as of 1989, a copyright notice is no longer required to establish copyright in the United States and much of the world. So the moment it is in a fixed, tangible medium that can be perceived by humans with the aid of machinery, it is copyrighted. So notes scratched on a paper napkin in a restaurant, that's a fixed medium. Those are copyrighted. Now, whether or not they're of value is beside the point, because here we're talking about copyright and its protections. Also, it doesn't matter what medium it's in. So another pothole or mistake is assuming that content on the internet is in the public domain, that is not protected by copyright or free to use. So copyright is medium neutral. If it would be copyright protected as print on paper or in video or in audio, then it's copyrighted in the digital formats online. I know it seems as if it's just floating out there in the cyberspace, waiting to be used. Why would the author put it out there if he or she didn't want me to use it? I can just pull it down. I've got the technology to do that. But we have to recognize that just because we can access it, get at it, see it, doesn't mean that it's free to use. Publicly accessible is not the same as public domain. So we see that a C in a circle is no longer required. Registration with the U.S. Copyright Office is no longer required. We have to assume that something is copyright protected until we can determine otherwise. Another mistake, assumption. If it's old or out of print, it's okay to use. Well, there is old with an expired copyright, and there are things that we just think are old. Copyright in the United States is now for the life of the author plus 70 years. If a company, if a business owns the copyright, it's for 120 years after its creation. So right now, anything published prior to 1923 in the United States is in the public domain. That means the copyright has expired and it can be used in any way you want. It's in the public domain. It's free to use. So prior to 1923 can seem pretty old to many of us. Prior to 1950 can seem old. So old is a relative term. not only is that year, that oldness, important, but just because something is out of print doesn't mean it can't be purchased as used, as we know today, but it may be available electronically under a license. Perhaps it's been digitized and the company offers a license to access it. So it's not really gone. It's not really out of print. So again, it depends. Mistake number four, assuming that copyright applies only to book authors, songwriters, movie makers, you know, famous rich people. We see a lot in the news more recently about music, songs being very similar to previous songs, and some very prominent court cases with large damages. Some of those cases go along for many years on appeal. Some cases are settled before they even get to court so that we don't really see the impact. But we are both consumers of copyrighted works and creators of copyrighted works. If we have original works of authorship set in a tangible medium, we have created something that certainly is potentially protected by copyright. Certainly that should be assumed. So what is protected by copyright and what isn't? According to Copyright Basics, which is a circular from the U.S. Copyright Office, again, copyright protects original works of authorship that are fixed in a tangible form of expression. The fixation need not be directly perceptible so long as it may be communicated with the aid of a machine or a device. So that takes care of audio, video, online kinds of things. Copyrightable works include literary works, musical works, including any accompanying words, dramatic works, including any accompanying music, pantomimes and choreographic works, pictorial, graphic, and sculptural works, motion pictures and other audiovisual works, sound recordings, and architectural works. And so this information is available through the website copyright.gov, and it's circular 01. But not everything is protected by copyright. Just to keep things interesting here, several categories of material are generally not eligible for federal copyright protection. So, obviously, things that have not been fixed in a tangible form of expression. So, many conversations, casual encounters, speeches, you know, just get-togethers, unless they're recorded. Titles, names, short phrases and slogans, familiar symbols or designs, mere listings of ingredients or contents, ideas, procedures, methods, systems, processes, concepts, principles, works consisting entirely of information that is common property and containing no original authorship. For example, standard calendars, height and weight charts. Now, in all of these cases, it's possible that patent or trademark laws may apply. So, for example, slogans or familiar symbols that we see in advertising are probably protected by trademark. Listings of ingredients or contents. This is an interesting one. When we look at recipes that are merely a listing of the ingredients, you know, a cup of this, a teaspoon of that, mix it with this amount of water, throw it in the oven at so many degrees for so long. Those are ingredients, those are procedures, those are steps. But if the recipe is accompanied by a little narrative, oh, my grandmother made these cookies and the kitchen always smelled so wonderful, they bring back wonderful memories, that portion is creative, original work. That portion can be copyright protected. So that's why it's confusing about recipes. Are they copyrighted? Are they not? just the ingredients and the procedures and the steps are not protected by copyright. And many times now, you'll see in newspapers a separation between the commentary of why this recipe is important to this person, and then the ingredients and procedures are in a separate column. The white pages of the telephone book, when there were white pages of telephone books, are merely a listing, and so those are not protected by copyright. But the yellow pages, the ads, those exhibit some creativity and some originality. So those individual ads would be protected by copyright. It's interesting that ideas are not protected by copyright. It's the expression of those ideas. So if you have an idea and you think it's pretty original, it's pretty wonderful, get it down into a tangible medium. Write it down. Record it in some way. Capture it. Don't just share it out and about orally, because you can't. It's not protected by copyright. You can't protect an idea. For our businesses, we know that content is the lifeblood of our business. And so it's important to plan how to protect that content as well. So mistake number 5. Again, assuming your ideas are protected by copyright. And as we've just said, it's the expression of ideas that are protected, not the ideas themselves. So we have had so far, we have had 5. We've had the assumption that if there's no C in a circle, it's not copyrighted. We have debunked that. If it's old or out of print, it's okay to use. It's not protected. We've debunked that. Assuming that content on the internet is out there free to use, we've debunked that. Assuming that copyright applies only to other people and not to us in our daily lives, we have debunked that. And assuming that ideas are protected by copyright, we have debunked that. Now, having debunked all those, we also know that in most of those cases, it depends. It depends on the specific facts in a situation. But these are the general guidelines that we should follow, that we should be aware of, things to think about, to investigate a little bit further. Let's look at assumption or mistake number 6, assuming that giving attribution or credit to the author is enough. This is a very common assumption. Again, it depends on several factors. How do you want to use the content? How much of the content do you want to use? How and where do you want to distribute the content? The author may not even be the copyright holder. As we mentioned earlier, it might now belong to a publisher, an employer, or even an heir, a descendant. So attribution is essential. It protects us from charges of plagiarism, you know, stealing work and pretending it's our own. But it is not the same as permission to use. Now that sounds complicated, and it may be. But again, following some basic steps here will help you determine the options so that you can stay out of court, not be getting heart-rending letters in the mail. But attribution is always essential, but it is not automatically permission to use. Assumption number 7, assuming that everything put out by the U.S. government is free to use, that is, that it's in the public domain, that it is not protected by copyright. Well, again, that depends. Was the work you want to use created by a federal U.S. government employee as part of their job? It was created by a federal U.S. government employee as part of their job. If so, it is not protected by copyright, and it's in the public domain. And so government-created works can be a rich source of information, even of photos and illustrations, all kinds of things. but the work may have been given to the U.S. government. Perhaps the copyright was transferred to the U.S. government. So it was copyrighted. So it, in its transfer, it is still copyrighted. Perhaps it was created by a subcontractor who retained the copyright. Or maybe it was licensed by the U.S. government to be displayed on a website, but the creator still retained the copyright. So everything on a .gov site online, .gov, is not necessarily in the public domain, is not necessarily free to use. So that warrants a little bit more investigation on your part. Look for statements about permission to use. Number 8, assuming that because you paid money for it, you own the rights to it. Assuming that because you paid money for it, you own the rights to it. Now, this one can be a tough one to get your head around. So let's look at it this way. You can own a physical book, but that does not mean that you own the rights to the contents inside the book. With the physical book, you can read it, sell it, give it away, bury it, destroy it, because you own that physical copy. But you can't do whatever you want with the content within the book. The content within the book is intellectual property that's protected by copyright. When you pay someone to create content for you, a website, a photo shoot, music, video for a commercial, or a wedding, you do not automatically own all the rights to all of the work. You have to plan ahead and make an agreement in writing concerning who will own the copyright. You know, don't assume that, well, of course I own it, I'm paying for it. Do it in writing, make an agreement before the project begins. And so today, for wedding photography, you often now see that the bride and groom arrange to receive the copyrights to the photos that are taken. They may even just get it as a digital product, and they go off and print their own. You know that sometimes when you go into a copy shop, FedEx, Kinko's, whatever, they'll ask you, do you have the rights to have this copied? And you'll see notices above the photocopiers that content may be protected by copyright, and so that you are assuming responsibility for having exercised the right to photocopy. So you're being warned that perhaps you should not be doing this, that perhaps you do not have the rights to do this. And in fact, often if you want some of the FedEx or Kinko's to do the photocopying for you, you will have to sign a statement saying that you have the rights to have it photocopied. So it depends again. How can you know what you can and can't do? Well, that brings us off to the next mistake, the next assumption. Assuming that the license you signed covers everything you might want to do with the work or the content. Assuming that the license you signed covers everything you might want to do with that work or with that content. And this is especially true with software, databases, online magazines, online books. A license is a binding contract, and it will detail specifically what you are allowed to do with the content and what you are not allowed to do. So you might license a work, you might license a photograph, something to use in a print brochure, but that does not automatically allow you to then use it on your website. That requires a separate license. Licensing is the way that we obtain permission to use works, and it's particularly true now in the online world. Again, it depends, and don't assume. If you're unsure about something that's in the license, check it out. This is something we need to be particularly careful of when we're using social media, because You know, it's so easy to click accept, or, you know, I've read it, so I agree. But you may be trading away, giving away some rights that you don't expect. And then you're surprised later when something might happen. Now, number 10, the biggest mistake here is, oh, I won't be caught. You know, I'm too little. Nobody is ever going to catch me. I'm too small for anyone to care about. I don't have any money. And so why would they approach me? But then that phone call comes from the attorney, or that letter comes from the attorney, or in some cases, an invoice, a bill, just shows up for hundreds or thousands of dollars. The technology is there to track the use of content. So if we have a presence on the internet, we have a responsibility that goes with it. No one is too small. So we've been through 10 assumptions, 10 possible potholes that we could inadvertently fall into. We might assume that a work is not copyright protected if we don't see a C in a circle. We might assume that if it's old, it's no longer protected, that its copyright has expired. We might assume that content on the internet is free to grab. We might assume that copyright applies only to others, to big organizations, big famous people who have lots of money. But we are both consumers and creators, assuming that giving attribution or credit to the author is enough, that covers us. That is not permission. You need to examine that further. Assuming that everything put out by the U.S. government is free to use. Assuming that because you paid money for it, you own the rights to it. And I gave this example of a physical book, but I think we're more likely to think about this in terms of digital media, CDs and DVDs, that if I've purchased it, that means I can do whatever I want with its contents. Number 9, assuming the license that you signed covers everything you might want to do, and assuming that no one will find out that you've used a copyright-protected work without permission. And again, it depends on the specific situation, on the facts involved in any particular case. Now, I said that I would go through some tips. You're probably feeling this is a little, it's either overwhelming and just I'm not going to worry about it, or it's overwhelming, so I'm afraid to put my creative works out there. And we want to talk about managing copyright. We don't want it to manage us. So I want to offer you some tips for coping with what seems to be very complicated, some basic ideas for how we can manage copyright so it doesn't manage us. But before I do, I want to offer you an opportunity to explore how some of these things might apply to you. You might be thinking, wow, I didn't realize how important copyright is and how it affects me. You've heard me say it depends a lot, so that things are not easy, black and white, yes or no. And that drives us crazy. We want yes or no. There's a lot of gray, there's a lot of maybe, there's a lot of it depends. So how can you determine what is copyright protected and what isn't? What can you feel confident in using? When do you need to rethink the project a little bit, or look for a different resource, a different image, a different photo? Well, I want to help you feel safer and feel more protected about the content you use, the content you create, how you can protect yourself and protect your content. I want to offer you an opportunity to explore what potholes might be in your path in your specific situation and how you could avoid them. So I'm offering you a complimentary strategy call with me to explore how copyright might apply in your particular case. You can go to managecopyright.com/free session to sign up through a form to schedule a time. That's managecopyright.com/free session, and that's all lowercase letters. So let me spell it out for you here. managecopyright.com/free-session. And if you go to managecopyright.com, you'll see a tab along the top of that site that's labeled Free Session. Now, if you're not sure, if you're not ready to ask the questions, you're not quite sure what to ask, I want to offer you another resource. And again, if you go to managecopyright.com, you'll see over on the right column an ebook for the 10 biggest copyright mistakes small businesses make that can land you in court and how to avoid them. And again, we are all businesses in one way or another in our homes. So this applies to anyone. So I encourage you to sign up for one of those opportunities, either to talk with me or to get the ebook and then talk to me, because this is complicated. But we do know from the news that we read that people do receive these letters, and that it's potentially disastrous. It can ruin a business. It can bankrupt the whole situation. And if it's a large company that's involved telling you that you have infringed, they have deep pockets of money, and they can drag out, if they want, they can drag out a case for months and years, and so that until your funds are exhausted. So better to have some prevention, to be prepared, and to have a plan. And that's one of the tips that I want to give you. Is it's good to have a plan about thinking about how copyright is affecting you. First, the first most important tip, and this won't be a surprise to you, assume that a work is copyright protected until you can determine otherwise. Assume that a work is copyright protected until you can determine otherwise. So this applies to documents, articles, books, white papers, letters, websites, blog posts, email messages, recordings, inter-office memos, social media, Facebook, Twitter posts, photos, charts, illustrations, cartoons, audio, video, and even notes scrawled on a paper napkin. Remember, the moment that original creative content is fixed in a tangible medium, it is copyright protected. No C in a circle is required. No registration is required. However, when you are creating content, I recommend that you add a copyright notice, C in a circle with the year and your name or your business name, whoever's going to hold the copyright, and all rights reserved. There are other options, but that's the basic one. And then also consider registering your copyright with the U.S. Copyright Office. It can be done online. It's not expensive. You could group things together. If it's a lot of photos, you could group them together and call them John Smith's photos for the first half of the year and protect them in that way. Could do that with poems, with short stories, with any sort of creative work that you want to protect. your business has procedures. You want to protect those. So have a plan, and not to be taken by surprise by the letter. Develop a copyright policy or risk management policy. Outline copyright basics and how they apply to you. What kinds of things, what's your comfort with risk? Some people say, well, you know, I think this is a little deal or whatever. We'll go ahead and do this. Well, what are the criteria for you to feel comfortable going ahead and using something? Or how might license it differently? And if you have employees who are in the back doing search, copy, paste, send, search, copy, paste, send, what do they understand about copyright? And what do they understand about your guidelines and your plans for protecting the company and protecting the content that you create? When should they opt to get permission or seek permission? When should they look for some other sort of resource that isn't protected by copyright? Maybe there's a U.S. government created resource that could be used. You create content. When are you going to require people to seek permission from you? What kind of licensing are you going to develop around the content that you create? So giving some thought to this before there are any surprises is good advice. So you want to educate yourself, educate your family and your colleagues in these copyright basics that we have discussed today. There are myths and misunderstandings out there. And so having a discussion, clarifying some of those things, clarifying what you are going to consider as best practices and guidelines for yourself, for your family, for your business. This can apply not only to content that we're talking about, the original content you create, but also having a social media policy. Who owns what is posted? And what are the guidelines of what can be posted? This certainly applies to your family. Certainly you've probably had the discussion with family members about posting. And this applies to organizations and businesses as well. And certainly we see in the newspaper where people have posted something in haste and it has had a serious consequence. Review your licenses and contracts. You license content to use. You have databases. You have online resources. Maybe you have books or journals. Review those licenses regularly. What are you permitted to do and what are you not permitted to do? Make sure that you're within the guidelines of those licenses, but also make sure you're getting the full value of what you are allowed in your licenses. And so when you're negotiating licenses for content, make sure that that license allows you to do what you need to do. For example, if the public has access to your content as walk-ins or something, make sure that the license includes walk-in members of the public, that it's not restricted to just employees or certain employees. So make sure that the license does what you need for it to do. And this applies, again, to the licenses and contracts that you issue. So to summarize these quick tips, assume that content is protected by copyright until you can determine otherwise. Because, again, it depends. Educate yourself, your family, your staff, your colleagues in copyright basics. Review your licenses and contracts regularly. Plan how you will protect the original content that you create or that your staff is involved in. Put that copyright notice on there. And consider taking the extra step of registering your work with the U.S. Copyright Office. Make sure that you have policies and discussions and training in place and updated regularly. The copyright law, the current law, was written in 1976, when the biggest concerns were the advent of photocopiers and the transmission of content from the auditorium into the overflow audience in the cafeteria. And boy, we know how things have changed since then. The law has not kept up with the technology. We can do many things that aren't covered in the law. The law needs revision, total revision. There have been little patches put on it, but it's basically the courts that are trying to interpret cases in today's technological world based on that 1976 law. And so that is a struggle, and interpretations differ. So it's best to be informed and informed regularly. Again, this doesn't mean you have to become a copyright scholar, but be aware and take advantage of educational opportunities for lay people. I want to thank you for being part of this session today. And again, I want to offer you the opportunity to dig a little deeper. You can set up a strategy call with me. We would assess a little bit about your situation and what your strategy might be to feel more comfortable. That's at managecopyright.com/free session. You can also go to managecopyright.com and look in the right-hand column, and you'll see an ebook that you can sign up. You'll also receive free tips and an occasional newsletter. This is Barbara Ingracia, certified copyright manager, speaker, and trainer from managecopyright.com. Thank you. I look forward to hearing from you. Manage copyright. Don't let it manage you.